Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet at 7450 Highway 64 in Bartlett. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Back in Sports Time, Bryant and Brett with you as we start our third and final hour on this Monday afternoon. We've got to talk the Grizzlies. We'll talk some NBA as well with the Game 3 of the Finals in a couple hours. But joining us now to talk all things Grizzlies, it's DeMichael Cole. He's the Grizzlies beat writer over at the Commercial Appeal. And DeMichael, first off, thanks so much for joining us again. But over at the Commercial Appeal, a couple days ago you had a story up breaking down Cameron Carr and his fit for the Grizzlies at that 16 spot. We've talked so much about these three draft spots that the Grizzlies currently have. Now, a lot can change before those picks, but right now it does seem like a lot of people think that Cameron Carr could be in play at number 16. What do you think about his game, and what do you think about his fit with the Grizzlies?
Yeah, it's less about, you know, him being in play at 16 and more about the idea of getting him as a player. Because The thing is, look, we were out there in Chicago at Scout Combine, guys. And I say, man, after that first scrimmage, forget exactly what he had, but he had 32 points, 33 points, something like that. He was clearly one of the star players on the floor. It was buzz going around. Everyone was talking about him. And it became clear at that point, this guy's probably going to be a lottery pick. Mm-hmm. If not, Chicago at 15, you know, makes a lot of sense. And you've seen a lot of mock drafts that have mocked Chicago at 15 to be where he lands. So the Grizzlies, if they want to get him, they're probably going to have to jump up. Now, to the other part of your question about just the type of player that he is, I think the simple way of putting it is, if we like comparisons, it's almost kind of the Cedric Coward mold, from the standpoint of a guy who has a safe floor but high upside. You talk about a guy who shot three-pointer very well at in college at Baylor. He played 2 years at Tennessee. His second year is one he's going to get a lot of questions about. I'm sure a lot of teams have been asking him about it. I asked him about it in Chicago. If you remember the story, he was at Tennessee, and as Rick Barnes put it, he just left. That's what Rick Barnes said. He just left. So he left mid-season. There were some questions that he's had to answer about that. But, I mean, the talent, I mean, you talk about a 42-inch max vert, 38.5-inch standing vertical, 6'5", 7-foot wingspan, 37% three-point shooter with range. He knocked down some really long-range shots at Baylor. So he has NBA range. He is a little light. He's a buck 85 at this point. But that 7-foot wingspan, it really plays. You turn on the tape, you're going to see a guy who averaged 1.3 blocks per game, you know, as a wing. And a lot of that is reminiscent of what Cedric Coward, we saw him as a weak side, you know, help defender. How many times did we see Cedric Coward meet guys at the rim and block shots? You turn on Cameron Carr's tape, you're going to see a lot of that. So it's the idea of pairing multiple really creative wings who have safe floors. You know he's going to be a solid three-point shooter. You know, with that 7-foot wingspan, he knows how to use it. So there's some good defensive upside there. And yes, he has to get stronger with the ball, just like Cedric Coward has to get stronger with the ball. Yes, you want there to be more to his offensive creation package. But, I mean, he's a big-time athlete, and he's one that teams are falling in love with, because you're seeing that type of player be a hot commodity. Look at the finals right now. You got Julius Champagne. You got Devin Vassell, who is one I've seen Cameron Carr come to on one team. And then on the other team, you got OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges. All those guys are those 3-and-D type players. They play quality defense, but they also shoot the ball at a high level. They space the floor, and they're not required to do too much, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And I know it was just one college game, but Cameron Carr against the Memphis Tigers last year, 13 points, 10 rebounds, and a 78-71 loss at FedEx Forum.
Yeah, and the 10 rebounds, again, goes back to the point where I say he knows he has a 7-foot wingspan. Like, that's something I remember Cedric Coward was talking about when he first got here. He's like, yeah, everyone talks about my wingspan, and, you know, I'm trying to take advantage of that and whatnot. Cameron Carr takes advantage of it. The rebounding that you just mentioned, we talked about the leaping ability, the 1.3 blocks per game. Like, you look at a lot of his blocks, it's him just leaping. Some of it is close out on three-pointers, some of it is chase downs, and some of it is just help defense, beating guys at the rim. So he brings a lot to the table. And Cedric Howard does a lot of the same stuff, too. So pairing those guys, you potentially could have a dynamic, you know, defensive wing tandem. And you need that in the Western Conference because you're going against Shai Gilgeous. You're going against Anthony Edwards. You're going against Devin Booker. You know, the list goes on and on and on. There's so many guys in the Western Conference, Luka Doncic, et cetera. And you're going to need those multiple wings who have defensive makeups to throw at them.
Yeah. You mentioned talking about Cameron Carr that if the Grizzlies want to pick him, it would probably involve them moving up. There have been some rumors today, the last couple of days, that instead of kind of the rumors that were the last couple of weeks of the Grizzlies moving back, the Grizzlies moving up from 16 into and trying to get into the top 10. I know we talk all the time about the chances of them moving up from 16, but have you heard anything about them looking to move up, and what do you think the chances are that they could maybe move up into that top 10 and take one of those four guards that kind of everybody has grouped together?
Oh, it's on the table. It's on the table. The older people say the proof's in the pudding, right?
Yep.
And if you look at the history.
I speak for all old people, DeMichael. I speak for every one of us.
that's used that one before. And you look at the history of what the Grizzlies have done in the draft under Zach Kleiman. History tells you anytime there's been a non-lottery first-round pick for the Grizzlies, there's been some type of movement involved with that pick. Anytime the Grizzlies have drafted in the lottery, Zach Edey, you know, for example, not any time, but Zach Edey is a good example. They drafted him in the lottery. John Morant, they drafted him in the lottery. They stayed put. A lot of other times they've moved up to the lottery, right? To get Zaire Williams, they moved up. To get Cedric Howell, they moved up. There are examples of that. And in both of those cases, they were in the teens, right? There have been some other cases where they've been in the 20s and they moved up. They moved up to go get Jake LaRavia, I believe. They traded a first-round pick to get, you know, traded into the first round and traded De'Anthony Melton as well to go get David Roddy. Mm-hmm. So for first-round picks that are outside of that lottery window, like 16, like everything is on the table. So I think you got to consider that. You got to consider what we've been told and what we know. We know that the Grizzlies don't want this to be a long rebuild. Well, how do you prevent this from being a long rebuild? You go and get your guys right now. Because financially you'll be able to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to go get your guys. You're not going to just get some, you're not in a position to where you can just add a plug-and-play guy who, you know, rounds you out. You need to go get the best available. And how do you do that? You look at this draft and look at the makeup of the draft, right? When you get to that 16 range, like you just talk through the makeup of this draft. When you get to, say, 12 to 20, the reason you're hearing about Cameron Carr a lot is because there are not a lot of wings that are projected to go in that 12 to 20 range. Braden Burry is possibly going to be off the board. And at that point, Cameron Carr is probably the only real wing. Like, Daylon Swain, you can make an argument for him being top 20, and no one's going to put up a big fight about it. But other than that, like, there aren't many wings. What you're going to see is a bunch of guards, you know, like Dennis Sturts, LeBaron Fylon, Christian Anderson, some of those names come up. And you're going to see power forwards and centers. You're going to see names like Jaden Quinnen, Hayne Steinbeck, you know, power forward slash center, Yaxel Lindenberg, Merez Johnson. Those are more of the names that you see in that range. And you look at what the Grizzlies could draft and what they potentially will draft, you're probably getting the power forward with that first pick. So that's why you're hearing, you know, the idea of the Grizzlies moving up, because if you move up, you kind of control what you can do a little bit more. And they have the draft capital. I keep pointing to this because we haven't talked about it much, but now's the time to start talking about it. The Grizzlies have three first-round picks next year. They have a top-four protected pick from the Los Angeles Lakers that definitely should convey. The Lakers shouldn't be drafted in the top four next year. So you're going to get a top-four protected pick there. You also have the most favorable of the pick that we talked about a lot between the Utah Jazz, Minnesota Timberwolves, Cleveland Cavaliers. That's another first-round pick. Then they have their own. There's no way the Grizzlies should be using three first-round picks next year. So it puts you in the perfect opportunity to say, hey, we can package 16, add an additional first in 2027 to that 16th pick as well. And then we saw when they did the Cedric Howard deal, they moved up to 11. They added a future first-round pick in 2 seconds. So you can add a couple second-round picks as well, or add maybe another future first with some protections on it. And they should be in position to get to 10, 9, 8, maybe even 7, you know, if they want to.
Yeah, this thing could turn around very favorably. I think a lot of it, and you have said it, and Rob Fisher, when he joins us, he always says it, and Keith Smith always says it. A lot of it hinges on Zach Edey and health. But if we could get the blessing of good health, it all could turn around really, really quickly. The Grizzlies aren't moving out of three, are they?
No. Don't think that's happening. I haven't heard anything.
What's the debate? DeBanza won't be there. Utah's going to get him, if nothing else, at two. So let's say DeBanza, Peterson are gone. How heavy inside the organization, as best you can report, would the Wilson Boozer debate be?
I think it probably be a little bit more of a debate right now, based on, again, what I've been hearing, and I haven't heard much on the Caleb Wilson front, you know, so I'll say that. So with that part being added, I mean, Darren Peterson is such a special talent. Like, if you think about the fact that there could be, you know, an opportunity or a route where the Grizzlies could get Darren Peterson, or they could get, you know, a guy like Cam Boozer. I think Cam Boozer is definitely the other name, but I don't see them trading out of that spot. This is what they've worked for, right? This is, I mean, being honest, this is why you did all that tanking, because you wanted to be in a position to get you a player who can turn this thing around quick, fast, and in a hurry. And, yeah, in theory, you can trade back or whatever the case may be and still get a player that you're high on. I was talking about on my podcast this morning how I think when we talk about the first tier of guys who can really come in and be cornerstone players for the Memphis franchise, I would throw Darius Acuff in there. Not saying that he's a better option than some of those guys, but being your point guard of the future, I'm cool with him being the Grizzlies' point guard of the future and like we can have a bunch of success going that route. So, look, there are some options that make sense, but at the same time, it just doesn't feel like the most plausible route for the Grizzlies to turn this thing around.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's just say in a world the Grizzlies do stay at number 16. You wrote today kind of talking about what a lot of various mock drafts predict the Grizzlies will do at all three of their positions. And at 16, and these are the two names that I feel like I'm seeing more and more as we get closer to the draft, at number 16, Okorie, the point guard over at Stanford, and Anderson, the point guard at Texas Tech. If it comes down between those two, and the Grizzlies are going to pick one of those, do you have a preference? Do you think one is better than the other? What do you think about those two guards?
Man, well, it always is comes down to fit to me. Mm-hmm. And between the two, I'm going to say Okorie, not because he's a better player, but because of what the Grizzlies need. So Christian Anderson specializes. He can shoot the three-pointer really, really well, and he's a terrific playmaker. And the Grizzlies have a bunch of guards. I don't think playmaking is a problem in Memphis anytime soon with all the point guards that they have. Like, yeah, they may not be great, you know, like incredible playmakers, but they have enough guys who can dribble the ball up the floor and get guys involved. The shooting is plus with Christian Anderson as well, but where Abuga Okorie separates himself is the shot creativity, the ability to score off the dribble, to score off the bounce, and that's something that he projects to do better than what most Grizzlies players on the current roster can do. So I look at Javon Small and I say, man, he shot 40% from three-point range, shot the ball well, was a real good pull-up three-point shooter. And I look at the defense that he plays, and I'm thinking to myself, is Christian Anderson that much of an upgrade over him to validate drafting him at 16 instead of going to get another, you know, impact player? Whereas I look at Abuga Okorie, and I'm saying that shot creativity, you go look at that game against North Carolina where he had like 35 points. You know, go look at some of his other games against some of the better teams in the ACC. You're going to see a guy who's got some wiggle, who's going to put the ball on the floor. And you say, man, the Grizzlies don't have a lot of guys where you say 7 seconds on the shot clock, everybody move out of the way. I can take care of this. Like, stay calm. That was a problem this year. And that projects to be a problem even at this point of what they have with the core going forward. Like, we haven't seen that from Cedric Cowart just yet. There were a couple times, I remember that game against the San Antonio Spurs when Zach Edey was playing. There were a couple times the shot clock winded down and they just threw him the ball and got out of the way and they didn't get much out of it. So I do think that of the two players that you mentioned, Okorie makes the most sense for that one reason alone. Christian Anderson is probably levels better as a playmaker. He's a whole level above Abuga Okorie in that area. But that isn't as much of a concern to me right now as finding a guy who can be a creative scorer.
DeMichael, these mock drafts, I swear there was a point in February or March, Dalen Swain from Texas, he was in low 30s, Brian. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He has just moved up. I mean, it's low 30s to mid 20s to now 17 at Tankathon.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And, again, you look at him, he's one of those guys. He passes the eye test. He has the measurables. He has, the upside and things like that. The defensive upside is there. Yeah, we have questions about the shooting and things like that. But the defensive upside is really good. So he's one of those guys that projects the kind of trend up over the course of time. So I'm not surprised by that because he's probably going to take him some time, right, to get adjusted in the league. But, Swain is one. We'll see what happens, but he's an interesting prospect to monitor.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is.
Yeah, he's Herbert Jones to me.
I can see it. I can see that. Terrific defensive instincts as well, yeah.
Yeah, no, I would love that. Talking to DeMichael Cole, he joins us on Mondays through the draft to talk all things Grizzlies. Getting away from the Grizzlies just a little bit, this NBA Finals has been really, really fun through two games. Game three here in just a couple of hours. But what have you made of what you've seen through two games?
It's been a nice series, right? I feel like even though, the home team lost both games, it's still been very competitive basketball the length through. Going down to, a couple mistakes is what we've been talking about, especially in game two. But it was that way in game one for the most part as well. The only thing I don't like is the Eastern Conference peepers. And, this is the big, bad, mighty Western Conference that everyone was talking about. It's like, man, please, there were every team that the Knicks had played wouldn't make it out of the first round the way the West was set up this year. I don't think
that's true.
Before the Spurs, none of those teams. Cleveland would have been a first round exit, and every other team they've beaten on the way to this. But so the whole this is the big bad West Conference thing, it annoys me a little bit. But man, terrific series so far. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I really don't, guys. I guess we'll see by the time we're talking next week. But I do think that. They could potentially get one of these games in here. Maybe it's the typical 3-0 series lead game, and a team lets the foot up off the glass a little bit and they take advantage. But look, San Antonio's been involved in these games. There's been some young mistakes, which probably was bound to happen at this team at some point. I guess better now than it being the first, second round, or whatever the case may be. But look, man, they're on the wrong side of history right now. You don't lose your first two games at home and get a happy ending that often. So we'll see what happens.
DeMichael, I'm not picky. I don't need anything at midcourt. Just two free throw line extended. You got them for tonight at the Garden? You got any extra?
Oh, man.
Do you know anybody that's not working and just normal person going tonight?
No, I don't. I really don't. And, I can't. The nosebleed seats going for the prices that they're going, I can't imagine telling myself I'm willing to pay that much money just to be in the building.
Well, I've won the Powerball if I have.
goodness, man.
I don't even know I could do that then.
No chance.
No.
Better things I can do. I'll watch it. My TV, I'd get the biggest flat screen they got. I'd put that up with my Powerball winnings, and the TV broadcast would be much better than just the game.
And tell all my friends I went.
Sure, yeah. I can certainly sell a lie. DeMichael, you wrote over at the Commercial Appeal about some takeaways for the Grizzlies with what we've seen in really the NBA playoffs and the NBA Finals, and one of them that really jumped out to me was youth can win, and kind of pointing to not only the San Antonio Spurs, but also the Oklahoma City Thunder of, they invested in the draft, bringing in young guys, getting the draft right, and then going out there, making some other, picking up some other pieces. But you see that jump pretty quickly from we're tanking, we're going to build through the draft, to now you're in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, repeat that last part you said.
How, you went from, in just a matter of 3 or 4 years, you're tanking, and then now you're in the NBA Finals.
It can happen.
Yeah, that's the dream. That's everyone. Mm-hmm. With the new CBA, the quick turnaround is going to be the best way to build a sustained winner. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on sustained. Yeah. Let's talk about the Knicks, for example. The Knicks have done something where you can build a team that's going to win a championship, but the Knicks are not a sustained team.
No.
because they're not going to be able to keep all these guys. And the way that, look, Jalen Brunson did something that rarely ever happens. He took a hometown discount because he wanted to keep playing with his boys. How many times have we seen stars do that in the league? Not often. It's very rare. So I think what we're going to see is teams are going to look at what San Antonio did. Teams are going to look at what OKC did. And the Grizzlies are in a position to do this. That's why I said the Grizzlies need to kind of focus in on the idea of let's try to fast-track this process and put ourselves in the championship position before everyone gets to their second contract. Because at that point, the training wheels are off, right? There's no more honeymoon phase. Think about it. When Ja and the boys lost in the second round against Golden State, like, yeah, it was tough. But it was like, oh, you know, they'll be back many more years to come. But then Ja got paid that summer. Then the next summer, Desmond Bane gets his big contract. And then at that point, it's like, oh, snap. We're paying three dudes this much money. Jaren's got another contract coming as well. And once you get to that point, then it's, you have to know. You have to know, can we win a championship with this group or not? The Grizzlies said no. Desmond Bane was traded. Dan Jaren was traded. And Ja is on the trade block. So that's how it goes now with the way the CBA is set up.
Yeah, well, it's obviously going to be a busy next couple of weeks for the draft, and then we'll see what the Grizzlies do with the rest of that roster afterwards. But, DeMichael, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your week, and we'll do it again next Monday.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, DeMichael. DeMichael Cole joining us from the Commercial Appeal. Make sure you go check out all of his work over there. He's got great stuff, a lot of great stuff about the draft, which, you know, we're counting down the days now, only a couple of weeks until draft day.
I have no problem at all with Acuff being the point guard, quarterback, face of the franchise going forward.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, he
or big piece. Sure. I don't know if he'd be the face.
Sure.
I think that could be Edie, could be Coward, could be others.
Edie's got to get on the floor to be the face. And
he does.
That has yet to happen. But no, I mean,
best ability.
It's availability. That's no doubt. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think Acuff would certainly, and we've talked about it, you know, especially back when the Grizzlies were, you know, around that sixth spot before the lottery of, you know, Acuff would be a really nice piece to add. I think he would be super productive. You could start, you know, adding him to the court to build around. And what wouldn't hurt is, I think you would. It might not be enough to really go out and sell it, but I'm sure you'd get some people that would come in and sell a couple extra tickets by having your former Arkansas Razorback Darius Acuff on the court. No, it certainly wouldn't. So, I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with any of those point guards. If you told me that, hey, the Grizzlies have decided that they either want to jump up and draft one of those point guards or take one of those guys to kind of be that point guard of the future, I'd be fine with it. I think there are so many good options with all three of these spots that the Grizzlies have.
I don't know that I want to be the person to make this case, but I think it can be made, and I want somebody else to do it, and I'll be, yeah, go get them. Acuff, the right-handed Brunson?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make it. I certainly think you can make it. You know, I mean, the very, you know, small guys and, you know, very dynamic players. So yeah, I don't hate that.
Small and tight, but sure. Big-bodied,
yeah.
Tough.
No, I don't mind it. And you're gonna see.
You make it, and I'll support you.
Well,
promise.
I don't know if I'm gonna make that case, but. You know, I think because of what Jalen Brunson has done, certainly if he leads the Knicks to the NBA Finals win and he's the MVP of the Finals, that's going to be the new thing with small guards. Is it's going to be, you know, he's going to be the next Jalen Brunson. And, oh, you know, and even DeMichael, and he put it extremely well in a story, but talking about these takeaways from the NBA Finals, he said small guards can win. And Brunson is showing that you can have a small guard. Now, you have to play a certain type of way to be a small guard and have a lot of success. You have to know how to use your body, and certainly Darius Acuff.
And stay out there.
Stay
healthy.
Exactly.
DeMichael made a great point about the CBA, and while we're kind of everybody's trading being champion, and I thought this was going to be the wheelhouse years for the Grizzlies, but it came undone, and we're starting over. Okay, I'm there. I was ready for it to start over. I was ready for it to start over a year ago, but it makes it better instead of just having that one are two monoliths.
Yeah, no, it is. We've talked a lot about it, you know, over these last couple of weeks of all the different champions over the last, what, 8 years of a new champion. And, you know, not even just a new champion, but, you know, kind of new blood in the NBA Finals, in the conference finals. You're seeing a lot of different teams go in and really do that. Now, you know, for people like the Grizzlies or other teams down here, you know, picking at the top of the draft, that's great. You love to look up there and say, hey, man, this CVA is turning around where anybody can win.
You got
to
have hope.
Man, those top teams, it can kind of be a little scary. Man, look at all this new blood. It's kind of hard to build that dynasty and really remain at the top. So
I go to Jokic. I go to Milwaukee with Giannis.
Yeah.
Just one. I take the one. No, I take definitely. The one. But we did all that for just one?
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. Because right now, you absolutely take one. But once you get there, one's not enough. I mean, look at Oklahoma City. Just 1 year after winning the first one, it's, hey, man, why are we not back in there in the NBA Finals? So
they're hurting. They're miserable.
They are. They absolutely are. And so, and for, you know, I think good reason. I mean,
they could be saying, well, at minimum, we could be down 0-2.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think Oklahoma City was the best team in the NBA this year and just couldn't get it done in the Western Conference Finals. So it's going to be fun tonight with Game 3. We'll talk a little bit more about it in our next segment. But before we get to this next break, I got to remind you about our 5 o'clock sponsor. It's Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet. The Dobbs family, an old established name, is back in the car business in Memphis. Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet, located at 7850 Highway 64 in Bartlett, offering a full selection of new Chevrolets and quality used cars to meet every need and budget. Head out there and check out the beautiful new vehicles like the 2026 Chevy Silverado 1500. With its Turbo Max engine, off-road capability, and advanced technology on the interior. If you head out there and check out this beautiful model, you can get 2.9% APR for 72 months. But while you're out there, check out the other models, like the 2026 Chevy Traverse or the 2026 Chevy Equinox, a redesigned, rugged meets modern vehicle with a 1.5-liter turbocharged four-cylinder gas engine. At Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet, it's fully transparent pricing. No hidden fees, no games, and they cover all your needs with their service department. Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet welcomes you to a new way of providing excellent customer service. They're a great team. They're ready to find that perfect vehicle that fits your needs. Head out to Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet in Bartlett at 7850 Highway 64, open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can go online and view those vehicles at DobbsBrothersChevy.com, but head out there and test drive those vehicles today at Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet in Bartlett. Well, let's go ahead, get to another break, and when we return, we'll talk about what's trending.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet at 7450 Highway 64 in Bartlett. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Back in Sports Time, Bryant and Brett with you as we've got about 30 minutes left in today's show. We're counting down to Game 3 tonight of the NBA Finals. We'll talk a little basketball here in a second. I want to get to more NBA Finals and some Grizzlies rumors, reports that have come out today. But it is official. The NCAA has officially filed a notice of appeal in the Brendan Sorsby case. So we will see, and it's being described as an accelerated appeal. So my question to David Cobb a little more than an hour ago of how long until we get new news, I don't know how much accelerated it will be, but it seems like NCAA working fast to appeal this.
Brian, I ask this as innocently or naively as I possibly can. How good is he?
I mean, you know, I think he's a really good quarterback. I think Texas Tech is a lot better with him than without him. You know, I mean, we did our college football playoff predictions. I think that if he's on the field for Texas Tech, they're a playoff team. I think
BYU in.
Yeah.
instead of Texas Tech as Big 12 rep. But if he's in when we do the one that matters, I'm going to have him in.
And that's exactly right. We're way early in the process when we did our first one or our second one. I can't even remember when all this came out and where we were. I had Texas Tech in. After he was all this came out, I had them out. And so I think that he is good enough to make them a college football playoff team when he's on the field. And when he's not on the field, I think he makes them to where they're not probably a college football playoff team.
Yeah, and we know they paid him a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. It's,
and they felt like he was the last piece to a great puzzle that they have there with everything else they've been able to acquire.
Yeah, something tells me NIL helped his gambling addiction a whole lot more than anything else. I mean, you got all that money coming in. It makes it a lot easier to make these bets, I guess. So good for him. Or I guess not good for him, however this plays out.
Shouldn't the IRS come knocking at some point?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
You think they got their cut and all the paperwork's all slicked up?
I mean, I would hope that when we now get into all this NIL money and stuff, that the schools are on top of that, making sure that everybody fills out their taxes the way that they need to be filled out. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, we've talked about, and you know, it's something that I was thinking about earlier when we were kind of talking about how, well, you know, he hadn't bet on his team, all of that stuff. And I was kind of wondering, you know, he says he hasn't bet on his team. How do we know that? But you know, these sports books, they have all that information, and you know, so they know that he didn't bet against his team. They know when he started gambling under, you know, his parents' name or whatever it might had been. I would assume that information has gotten to whoever it needs to get to, and they have been able to cross-check it and make sure that there was no funny business going on. Because here's the thing. I mean, I'm sure it started off when he's a walk-on or, you know, the red shirt at Indiana. He's probably only betting a couple bucks here and there. When he gets to Cincinnati, he's making all this NIL money, and he's the starting quarterback.
That's how it always starts.
Then he's making a lot bigger money bets, and so I'm sure it all checks out of, okay, this is when he started getting NIL money, then he, you know, quadrupled his amount of money that he's betting on, making on bets. I'm sure it all checked out. I would be really shocked if it comes out that there's any sort of there to that.
If you're mad at me, I take my apology up front, but I'm going to pull the curtain back. I texted you during the last segment when we were talking about Cameron Carr.
Yeah.
Is how did the Tigers beat them that day and control the entire game? Remember, a lot of that game, Baylor could not get in their stuff.
Yeah.
They couldn't in the half court run an effective offense against a team that ultimately went on and lost 19 games.
Yeah.
I looked at the box score, great Bradshaw game that day and a couple others that were inconsistent. I'm not saying this is entirely – I'm not alleging anything gambling around Baylor. I'm just – I am saying this. I think there's a lot of locker room issues out there with teams and players because of the money, because of the legitimate legal money. I think it has locker room disruption written all over it. I know of an SEC team that was real good last year that a person told me, he said, all those injuries late in the year, that wasn't injuries.
Sure.
That was holding out. I need more money.
Yeah, so I mean,
I don't play.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of that going on around the country. Yeah, you know, I don't know if that's exactly what was happening at BYU, but I'm sure it was a little bit there. You know, I mean, it was just bizarre the way that the season played out for Baylor, all the way from, you know, the before the start of the season, the transfer portal, when Rob Wright decides that he wants to leave, kind of gives them late notice
with
that he's
going to
the transfer portal. Yeah, and goes to, you know, he goes to BYU, and then, you know, they come into the season. They've got Cameron Carr, who turns out, you know, he's going to be a top 15 pick. They've got, you know, the other player that took his name out and is now going to St. John's. You know, they end up, this was after the Memphis game, but they add the center, you know, James Najee, that had already been in the draft once. So, you know, it was weird, you know, when they played Memphis, they didn't really have a center on the roster. Did they really have a point guard on the roster? I mean, for a coach that I have immense respect for, Scott Drew, I think he's a
top 10 coach.
Yeah, absolutely, a great coach. I don't know what happened last year, because the roster was not good. It was not a full roster.
Penny got the best of him that day.
He did. It was weird all around for Baylor last season.
Who it is. It's something out there in college sports, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, that happens. And so it was, but it was weird.
We just know the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, we can assume or we can, you know, guess, but, you know, it's hard to, you know, a lot of times keep it behind closed doors, but what is behind closed doors is what catches crazy.
And that's if you're going along well and winning. We know that helps. That's mm-hmm. the best chemistry.
Yeah.
But this particular SEC basketball team I'm talking about, they were winning. Mm. And just, hey, I need more.
Yeah.
I got a quad that's tight.
Yeah, it's weird because you've got two completely different ends where, you know, if the team is not very good, then you've got guys that are probably going to say, yeah, I don't want to play. I'm going to enter the transfer portal. I need X amount of money if I'm going to play. This team's awful, yada, yada, yada. But then if you're too good, then it's like, hey, I need more. Because I didn't get enough for what I'm bringing to the table. So it makes it very, very weird now in all of college athletics. And
boy, the think pieces on the sustainability.
Yeah.
They'll be written this week, won't they?
No, they definitely will. And, you know, I'll be curious. You know, we had a texter earlier and didn't have time when it came in to read it. But, you know, what these type of stories do to college football fans or college sports fans. You know, this texter texted in and said, you know, that this is kind of the breaking point for him with Brendan Sorsby, and that he's kind of over it now with college sports. And so I think, you know, the constant going to court and having courts play such a big role in you know, we talked about with David Cobb, having these courts play such a big role. And, you know, anytime you don't get the answer you like, running to a court and trying mm-hmm. to get a cozy judge, I mean, I do think that has an effect on people of, hey, let's just go out there and play ball. I mean, we don't need all this extra stuff.
Give me those Grizzlies trade rumors.
So some rumors out there today. It's not necessarily really trade rumors per se, more of what it is of kind of the next – what they'll do in the draft, the next move they'll make. Brett Siegel, who reports for ClutchPoints.com. Now, you can take his word. You can't take his word. I don't know. Take it with a grain of salt, I guess. This is what he said today. He put out a story. It says, we have a new mock draft at Clutch Points with all the latest intel and talk around the league you need to know. Bulls and Thunder attempting to trade up, the ongoing DeBonza versus Peterson debate at number one, and much more. And this is what it says about the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies should be thrilled to draft Boozer as the face of their franchise moving forward. And while they have been very tight-lipped as an organization since the lottery, rival teams that have been in contact with Memphis claim the number 3 pick is off limits. The same cannot be said about the Grizzlies' number 16 pick, which sources say GM Zach Kleiman is attempting to package with other assets to make a move up in the draft, possibly securing another top 10 pick. So at least Brett Siegel from Clutch Points reporting that the Grizzlies are active with that 16 pick and trying to package it to move up to possibly the top 10, where again, you get back into that conversation of some of these guards and maybe being able to go get Boozer and one of these top 4 point guards.
You remember when a couple Fridays ago when we were doing a lively round of high hard mm-hmm. ones and we talked to the natural path in mm-hmm. wins,
yeah.
And I think we were all around 33, 30, and about a 5-game improvement sure. over the next 3 years. If somehow draft night the Grizzlies come out of all this with Boozer and Darius Acuff, I start flying the stay healthy Zach Edey flag and squeeze into the playoffs next year.
Holy cow. Okay. I'll be excited. I don't know if I will match your excitement with that. But, yeah, I mean, it would be huge, and it would certainly give the fan base a lot of excitement and kind of hope for the future of maybe this will be a quicker turnaround. If you can lock in your starting point guard and your starting power forward and then say that, hey, Zach Edey's going to be healthy and, you know, you've got Cedric Coward and these other pieces that now you can grow with, not only can you kind of hope and dream that maybe this year, maybe next year we're back in the playoffs, but that will be a fun core to game in, game out, that 82-game stretch, no matter how good or bad they are, that will be fun of let's watch these guys grow together. Let's start seeing this team start to take form in front of our eyes. So it'd be huge.
Brian, real quick before we get to the break and get back with Mo's Crunch Time, to that texture about kind of a breaking point, tipping point for them at this point with college football. First, I'm very sorry you feel that way, and I'm not going to at all try to tell anybody how they should feel, other than we have to we have to keep interest in all of it, and anything damaged ultimately would damage us. So I don't want that, and I also don't want it because I have always so loved it. I think I think when we get to the games in the fall, that's always the fix. I'm not telling that it makes that person feel any better, and I'm not trying to tell them how they should feel. But I just think when we get to the games, it kind of always corrects it. If that doesn't do it, then I'll join them in being concerned.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think we mentioned this earlier when we were talking about it with David. I am glad that this is at least, you know, beginning of June, and we're talking about now the NCAA in a position to appeal the ruling so early, so that my hope is by the time we get to media days and we're doing Big 12 media day, this is all behind us. We have an official ruling. We know he's either going to be on the field, he's going to be off the field, and we can kind of move into the season with this not being the big story going into week three of Brendan Sorsby's back for game three against Houston. He's taking the field. Hopefully this, you know, gets made right, and you know it doesn't have to be an issue.
You know what the first question is going to be to everybody at Big 12 media days? Will y'all play Texas Tech, or will you sit out?
Yeah, and that will, you know, a lot will play out. Because I mean, here's the thing: like that's only if he's on the field, right? I mean, are teams still going to have that opinion if he's ruled out of the principal of Texas Tech is trying so hard to get him on the court? Because I mean, that's, I think, part of it, but, you know, if he's not on the field. So it definitely will be, no matter what happens from now to Big 12 media days, the biggest story will be Brendan Sorsby. No matter if they come out tomorrow and say he's ineligible and everything, it's going to be headline number one around Big 12 media days. Well, let's go ahead, get to our final break of the day, and when we return, we'll wrap up today's show with Moe's Crunch Time.
Download our Hub 901 app for instant access to Sports 56 and all the Flynn broadcasting stations from anywhere. Go to the App Store and get the Hub 901 app today. Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet, 7450 Highway 64 in Bartlett. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Fanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest crush time.
You are looking live in your have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Goodbye!
It's obviously crunch time.
Danny Ruff, Danny Ruff, Danny Ruff, Danny Ruff, Danny Ruff, Danny Ruff.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need a crunchy bite to eat? Head to Moe's for nachos, crunch wraps, tacos, salads, and more. Moe's.com is your go-to for all your taco Crunch Time emergencies. And today is National Best Friends Day, so make sure you head out to Moe's. Buy one, get one entree. So grab your best friend, head out there to Moe's. I can already assure you, if you go there in the next 30, 45 minutes, you will run into me, because that's where I'm going for dinner tonight, to take advantage of that deal. So make sure you take advantage of that deal today. But Brett, what I learned today, I didn't really learn it today, I learned it over the weekend. As you can see, I'm rocking a Memphis Hound Dogs hat. I went to the first Hound Dogs home game.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, Brett. I had a blast. It was awesome. Now, I, for one, have been somebody that all my life have been fascinated with arena football. And I don't know why, but I've been fascinated with arena football. So the opportunity to go to an arena football game was a must. I went. Now, look, there are some things that I would like to see improved. I would like to see steps taken into improvement. But for game one, It was a blast. The product was great. A big win for the Hound Dogs. Now they are sitting in a tie atop the division that they are in. And I got to tell you, I mean, the tickets were pretty cheap. The concessions were pretty cheap.
It was, no
it was a good time. No, because this is so this league is different. You do the throw-offs instead of kickoffs, which is interesting. And then you have to go for either a one-point conversion or a two-point conversion after touchdowns. I had a good time. It was fun. And, I'm planning on being they're on the road this weekend. I'm planning on being back for the second home game of the season.
1-0 it. Who do we play this week?
1-1 right now, Brett. 1-1. They lost the road opener, but they won the home opener this weekend. I don't remember who they're playing. I think they're playing the Lunkers, maybe. I think the Ozark Lunkers are the opponent this week.
Where are they at, though?
They're out of Springfield.
Springfield, Mo?
Mo, that's right. Yes, right up
not
right
Springfield,
up
Illinois.
No, not Springfield, okay. Illinois. Springfield,
well, Springfield
Mo.
Springfield, Mo's Ozark. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I'm excited.
1-1. I'm glad you
1-1.
Had fun.
Oh, it was a blast.
What I learned, NBA Finals with the number one TV market in the country, New York, and a great brand in San Antonio, $17 million, peaked at $19 million. Sugar Bowl with Georgia and Ole Miss, $19 million, peaked at $21 million. NBA Finals against a quarterfinal college football playoff game, and college football won it.
Yeah.
I just don't think people realize it.
No, I don't think. I mean, we talked about it earlier. I think if you go and you ask people on the street, certainly on the streets of New York, I think they would absolutely laugh at you. Well, what I could have done without this news actually coming out just a couple of hours ago while we've been on the air, but it's being reported that Kentucky redshirt freshman football player Nick Smith has passed away. He was found deceased earlier today around 9 or 10 o'clock this morning. He redshirted this past season at Kentucky, and so just really horrific news coming out of Lexington. Certainly our thoughts and prayers going to his family, that team, that community up there in Lexington, because you never want to see a story like this. And unfortunately, it feels like we see this story about once every year, whether it's football, basketball, some sort of player, whether it be an accident in this. They said foul play, not involved, but kind of very weird. It sounds like he was on campus in the residential hall, and they called paramedics to come. So not sure exactly what happened, but no matter what happened, a really tragic scene and tragic news up in Lexington.
I'm looking forward to seeing could do without this, but let's see if Coach Nick Saban changes his anti-Ole Miss sermon to anti-Brendan Sorsby in Texas Tech. Never mind the injury, and Trinidad Chambliss has only played 3 years of college football. Sorsby did the once unthinkable, and now it looks like he's going to be on the field. I want to hear all the outrage about that I heard during sworn testimony last week in Washington in front of Congress from Coach Nick Saban.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. I think the Sorsby and the Bediako case are the ones to really, really rail against. It's certainly a weird spot that we're in when you're going to the courts, and a lot of times it can look like all of these situations are the exact same. But no matter what you think about the case with Trinidad Chambliss, the one thing that's different about these two cases and that one is that there are rules in the rule book that clearly say you cannot do X or Y, and they did X and Y, and still trying to play
laws.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes no sense. Where are you beaming tonight?
Only one place to be. Ooh, New York City at the Garden tonight, and City Field tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You could go to the Cardinal game tomorrow and then back to the NBA Finals on Wednesday night. What would that cost?
Now, here's my question, Brett. Does the beaming machine get you through the TSA-style checkpoint for the
beaming
Garden?
Machine takes you right next to the seat by spike.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. But, yes, I think you got to beam.
It's like the great odds.
Okay,
I just wanted
to make sure. Beam me to that game tonight. But how about this? After that game, the Athletics, Homeless Athletics, they're going to their future home tonight in Las Vegas against the Brewers. That will be a lot of fun to watch.
It will be. Yankees at Cleveland will be fun. But let's see if Wimby can be dominant tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be the big question. All eyes on MSG later tonight. But that's all time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.